Blog Talk Radio.
Well, what?
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Paraligion. I have a very, very special guest with me tonight. Mr. Psychic Profiler, the real deal himself, Robbie Thomas, is with us. And he's going to be telling you about a Christmas miracle story. Man, it'll touch your heart. It'll touch your soul. Let me see if we got Robbie on the line here. Hey, Robbie, you there? Okay, apparently we don't have Robbie on the line yet. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing, sir?
I'm good, and how are you?
Oh, we're trying to stay warm. How about yourself?
Yes, you know that cold Arctic Canadian air coming down, filtering through the border. I don't know if you can build a wall big enough.
Well, you could try for me. I'm down here catching what you're getting through there. So.
I was
telling the viewers, very very talented and gifted a person you are. I mean, my goodness, you got 9 books. The new book makes number 10. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. This will be my 10th book. I've co-authored 4 others. I also have another book coming out through the filming that we've done last year for Coexistence through all the tour stops, but that'll be at the later part of this year coming. But right now we got to concentrate on getting this one book out.
Right, right. I've been telling everybody you've got a story to tell about a friend of yours. That there really is a true miracle as far as I'm concerned. I'll let you go ahead and tell the story. I mean, it's just amazing to me.
Yeah, we were on the road to the final wrap up of our season filming of Coexistence in Virginia. So I arrived on the 17th of November, which was a Friday, and I got this urgent text. If I could possibly come to the hospital, this lady needed some urgent help. Her husband was in a coma, and they were going to take him off life support. And I explained to her that I was in Virginia. There's absolutely no way I could be there in the next day or two, possibly maybe 4 days from now. I'll be back in my hometown to help her. She said they gave her 48 hours. And so she went and asked if they can extend it, through the power of prayer and what have you. I arrived on Tuesday morning. We drove straight through Monday. It was a long 12-hour drive straight through. And I had him on my mind. His name was Bill Kiff. He's from my hometown, Sarnia, Ontario. This lady followed me since then. Oh, my gosh. early 2000. And, you know, you do what you can do. So I told my wife throughout the filming, you know, I'm concentrating on the filming, but my mind never stops, and I feel my soul. It never stops. So I'm reaching out, and we drive, 12-hour drive after filming for 2 days. And third day we're driving. I get home. The next morning, I'm up at the ICU, and I'm driving towards the hospital. I park the car in the parking lot. I look at this building, and I'm shaking. I'm tired. I slept probably 3 hours the whole weekend because of filming and staying up late and doing what we had to do and then the long drive. And I'm shaking.
Right.
I know it's from sheer exhaustion, but it's also I'm shaking because I know I have to go inside to meet Julie Kiff. And I don't want to give false hope. I don't want to give any, you know, misleading anything. So what I did was I eventually made it into the ICU. From there, I met Julie in the waiting room. She immediately pushed the buttons. It's a secured area, so we had to get secure clearance to get in. We got in. They knew I was coming. Get into the ICU. I've never seen a man in my life or any human being that plugged into machines ever. He had tubes coming out of everywhere, his side, everywhere. IVs, to like out of his arms. There was so much going into this man. He was in a coma. He was in the hospital for 50 days, almost 50 days. Now, coma, they declared him brain dead. They wanted to take him off life support and end his life. I show up. I looked at Julia, took my hat off, and I prayed to Jesus. And I said, Jesus, you got to let this man say something, help me, give me some directive, tell me something that we can give back to Julie. And in the interim of that, I turned to Julie, and what I heard was brain swelling, neurological toxicity, and wrong medication. So I said, you better ask them, and there's going to be a cover-up. They're going to try to cover this up. So you better ask them. I spent about 20 minutes. I left. Julie started talking to the neurologist, and apparently they asked for the chart, looked at what was going on, and immediately took the IVs out, and it was the wrong medication. Of course, I put him into coma, kept him there. They were killing him, and they were going to kill him. To this day now, to this very day, I've seen pictures of him today, and I actually, you know, commented on one of her posts on social media. He's sitting up, he's wearing his glasses, he's aware of people in the room, he can move his arms, he can't eat yet, alone, he still has a feeding tube, and he can't walk, but that's going to take time. The man's alive, and that's a Christmas miracle.
That is truly a miracle, and I did see a picture of him today that she posted, and he does look good. I mean, to think that they were ready to pull the plug on this guy, just amazing. And the way that you are able to intervene and get this message through, I mean, you not only saved this man's life, but I imagine you saved a big liability on the hospital itself.
Yeah, that, and I know that in the interim and looking at what's going on at the hospital and what's wrong with Bill, they're going to have to take care of this man because of the negligence of what has been brought forward now. Somebody's going to have to take the onus on this. And I remember her telling me, they were pointing the fingers, and, you know, saying whose fault it was and what have you, and blaming one doctor what was doing. But you know what? In the end of everything, when you look at it, it's that unit, the ICU. They're highly educated, scientific individuals. We're talking neurologists here. They should know what they're doing. When a man comes off the street, stands in front of an individual who's very ill, on his deathbed, and he prays to God, and God comes through, that's a miracle. When a man comes off the street, stands in front of a man who's dying, and prays to God again, standing there, there's something wrong with our medical system. People have to understand, you know, we can't make human errors like this. And how many human errors have happened over the many years that I've gone down the road? It only took me five minutes.
And not been caught.
You know, now the man's alive, and I'm going to get my handshake. The only thing I wanted from him, and I told Julius, that when he gets better and he's able to, I want to come back on my handshake. I want a handshake from the man.
Oh, man, that would be... And I know this wasn't, from talking to you, this wasn't an easy ordeal on you either, because everything wasn't coming to you right away, was it?
No, you know, it was very difficult, you know, during the prayer, but prior to, and just driving up to the hospital, sitting in my house thinking of this prior to going there, there was a lot of anxiety, a lot of, you know, what if, you know, what am I doing? Why me? And
right, a lot of emotion.
A lot of emotion. You know, it's raw. It's uncut. It's real. I mean, I showed up, and I was beside myself. I've never seen a human being like that. It's something else, you know, and I'm just glad that he's alive now. I don't take credit for it. I mean, if you really look at it, I did the action. But it was actually God who gave the answers. And that's all it took. It took faith. And that's what we need. You know, and a lot of people are skeptics and what have you.
Yeah.
But you got to look at it this way. The skeptics who are scientific-based, well, they're scientific neurologists. And they're highly educated, couldn't do it. What did faith do? Faith brought this man back.
That's just amazing, and it's so different from what you usually do. I mean, I know you put your all in everything that you do for the police department in missing cases, missing persons cases, and murders, and all this stuff. But I mean, this was actually a personal connection, and it's kind of a little bit out of the ordinary what you're used to doing, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I've done medical before. This is my first into it. I mean, if we go back into the year of the tour even, I was reading a lady at the Rhodes Hotel during filming, and I turned to her husband who was behind me, and I looked at him and I said, "Your father-in-law is telling me you got to look after your heart. There's something wrong with your heart, and you better take care of yourself." Sure enough, few months later, he's going for a stent in his heart, but he was aware of what was going on, and he got to the hospital, and you know, he got attended to prior to anything worse happening. So just that year alone, two people's lives right there saved.
It's a hell of an onus that you carry. I just want everybody to realize these gifts, they come with a price. I mean, it's not just like, you know, you go out and do your thing. It takes a toll on a person, and I know you have different ways. I talked to you about you have different ways of going about relieving the stress, and that you work out. You work out quite a bit. I know you do, and you try to do things with your family to separate everything, but you are a busy man.
Yes, very busy. And, you know, a lot of people say, like Julie, she said, "I want to pay you for this. You know, I know it costs a lot of money. How much? You know, I just said I wanted a handshake. That's all I require." Take a lot out of you when you travel and stuff, and people wonder if you have a fee. Yeah, I do have a fee for what I do. Murder cases, missing persons cases. When it takes my time away from my family and I have to travel for a week, 2 weeks to work with law enforcement for hours at a time, going over files, nailing it down, and doing it properly, yeah, there's a fee involved. You know, I don't discuss how much. That's my prerogative. And, you know, that's just the way it is. In the proof records of what I've done over the years, there's a lot of people I've saved, I brought home alive, and there's a lot of people I put away for murder. and there's people I found who their bodies. You know, it's well documented. The detectives, their testimonies themselves, on video, on letters, families' letters. It's all there.
Oh, I know.
It's all
I could read those just nonstop, man. It's hard to stop reading once you start reading. Some of that is really amazing. And you know what, Robbie? I know you say, oh, you know, I can't wait for the day that you get that handshake and everything, but I've got a little bit of a surprise for you here. I've actually got Julie on the line, and she'd like to say a little something to you. Julie, are you there?
Oh, I am. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Julie. How are you tonight?
Hi, Julie.
I'm good. I'm so happy tonight, and I'm trying not to cry, but I said that I knew I would cry because of everything
you know you're among friends.
Done for us. Pardon me?
I said, you know you're among friends.
Yes. I just want to say thank you so much for everything that you've given me and Bill. And for the help.
Oh, I love you guys. You know I love you. I do. And
he's waiting for his handshake. I talked to him today, and he said, yep, he's sitting up. He wants to, he's raring to go. It's amazing how far he's come.
Oh, God bless him.
Yes, yes. No, God bless you. I can't say thank you enough.
Oh, I love you, Julie. You know that. I mean, it's just, you know, God was right, and he's here, and that's just all that matters. And I talk about you and him all day long, and I'm just so happy. I really am.
I am, too. It's amazing. Everybody had written him off, and when I went to see him today, he was
elation.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I can't believe the elation you must feel. Just, I mean, one moment they're ready to pull the plug on your husband, and the next, I mean, you've got him for Christmas. You've got him for hopefully some great amount of time now. It's truly amazing to me.
We weren't able to, he wasn't able to come home, but that's not too far off the map now. The doctors, even when he was finally able to come around somewhat, said he'll be months and months and months. But the way he's going, it's not going to be that long. It's amazing. Amazing.
That is
amen.
Thank you so much, Robbie.
No, God bless you. God bless him. And, amen to that. Julie, I saw my handshake. I seriously do. I can't wait to see him and look in his eyes and just,
Well, and actually, I don't know if you've seen the picture that I posted today. I said, okay, Robbie needs a handshake. So he put up his, what he could, but.
I actually did see your pictures today, and he's looking amazingly well.
Looks
in real good spirits and everything.
Yeah, and you know what?
It's really a miracle.
It is, and you know what? People always look to put their faith in the medical community, but sometimes we need to look beyond that. And I did, and we found it.
There is a higher power.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, Julie, I truly want to thank you for calling in, and I was kind of hoping it would make Robbie's night there.
It did. It surely did. Oh, thank you so much.
And we know you've got some other hardships going on there right now, and we're really sending all the best wishes your way. Continued wishes being sent for Bill. We wish the best for all of you. We really do.
Thank you.
Thanks again for calling in.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, everyone.
So, Robbie, I'm just totally blown away, man.
Wow.
Actually sitting here shaking a little bit, just thinking about the whole ordeal. You know what I mean? It really touches me. I mean, this woman.
I'm wiping tears.
This woman was watching her husband getting ready to be put to death, basically.
Yeah, it's true.
And there was no reason for it other than a blunder. I mean, for you to be able to come through and fix that blunder, man, it's just, it is a true miracle. And I've been looking forward to this show since you and I set it up, because I wanted everybody else to hear this story. I mean, it's, you do so much.
Thank you,
man.
I mean, no, that's so cool of you. I mean, I'm wiping away tears here.
She was so willing. I got a hold of her. I got a hold of her about a week ago. The thought came to me, man. It's like, I know she's got to have something that she wants to say to you. And
yeah.
I kind of wanted you and everybody else to hear it. And she was as nervous as she was. Oh, my gosh, she was nervous. And worried about crying and everything like that. I told her, I said, you know, you're basically just going to be talking to Robbie and myself. You're among friends. So, I mean, I just want you to tell him what's in your heart.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. You know, that made my day.
I'm so glad. And the moment you said you'd be on my show, man, I was so honored. And I really, really am glad that I was able to do something good for you.
Yeah, no, it's great. Thanks, buddy.
So, how did you? How was your holidays and everything there?
Well, you know, they were busy. I tell you, nonstop for me. even through the holidays, you know, just trying to sit back and, you know, being asked if I wouldn't mind working with the FBI. You know, I got asked that, and I'm thinking about that, because that's a long haul, a long thing to do. And the funny thing was, I was at the gym talking to a guy, and I said to him, I guarantee you either the U.S. Marshals or FBI are going to call me and ask me to do something this year. And sure enough, it was the next day. You know, my wife laughed at me. She says, "You got to keep your mouth shut." I said, "I know." It's been busy because I really didn't have a good time with my family. But during the holidays, I still worked for people and doing cases and what have you. There's, you know, some good news come forward out of L.A. on a big case, which is, you know, I've been waiting for it to explode. And then you know, there's more stuff coming out of Washington. So I'm praying for Teresa and her family and the DSA to get move on down there. So, yeah, it's been a busy thing for me. It won't stop. It continues. It's a 24/7 deal for me.
Yeah, it's just awesome, everything you do. I mean, those listeners who pay attention to the post, I'll say this for the ones that didn't maybe see the post. This is actually going to be a two-part show. I wanted Robbie to tell everybody about the Christmas miracle, of course, but Robbie's new book coming out. We're going to talk about that on the next show. I was lucky enough to be able to preview it, and I don't know just how much you're going to want to talk about it, but I'm sure you can pick out a few things that we can share with the audience without giving too much of it away. That's going to be a real interesting show too.
It will. People will be able to see where I actually get planted into homes. And, you know, without giving too much away, like get planted into the suspect's home, actually holding a recorder under a suspect's face to get the confession, you know, being on the death scenes, going through the motions, getting a deathbed confession from one guy, you know, that case gets solved. And they're really detailed cases, very, very detailed. And then, you know, looking at this Christmas miracle here we had, and go back just before 2017 started, we got the conviction of a man who committed murder of a pregnant woman. And, you know, we got that testimony of that case. And there's so many stuff, so much, so much. And, you know, I can go on and on and on. So I sat back, Steve, and I was really wondering, what am I going to do? I can't put it all in one book. It'd be bigger than the LAPD's phone book. you know, I think I do more murder cases than homicide detectives do homicides. It's crazy. But I think we're going to do volume one and volume two.
How many cases have you done over the years, do you know?
Hundreds.
Do you know?
No, the number. You know, I always even ask my ratio, my percentage, have I ever been wrong? And I think I've never been wrong. It's not me. It's the fact that the case gets solved or we're lacking a little bit, but we know who it is. We find certain aspects of the case. They're very difficult cases, too, we can get into where if a person goes missing in one county, but yet we find something in the next county, they can't arrest that individual for murder without a body because she went missing in another county. Really weird stuff in the United States. Remember, I'm a Canuck, so everything's different here than it is there. You know, from that to a 20-minute phone call telling somebody in Florida, a detective, that I know where she is, and they go and find her within an hour and save a woman, bring her home. You know, there's all kinds of stuff. Cases are quick. Some are quick. Some are long. Some are minutes. Some are hours, weeks, months, days, and they go. But there's so many of them, I lost track. There's just so many.
What's intriguing to me, and I'm trying not to give too much away until our next show too, but what's really intriguing to me is the way some of the clues that come to you don't make sense at the time, but then they always seem to reveal themselves at the end.
Yes, and absolutely.
I find that so intriguing because, I mean, you give everything such attention to detail that even if it doesn't make sense at the time, you still take note of it. And then to find out where it plays out at the end is just like, I mean, you know, it's the ultimate mystery.
Yeah, it truly is. Every single detail, I harbor everything notation-wise, documentation-wise. And what people are going to understand when they read this book, when they say, you know, even the hardest skeptic out there who will look at this book, they can't deny it because you'll have detectives' letters, you'll have their testimony, you'll have the documentation that went back and forth between my office and the detective's office. It'll have letters from families. So, you know, there's just nothing you can deny that's in that book. I made sure that when I did things years ago, if it was going to be done, it had to be done professionally and proper. Not just say, you know, I do this and I'm helping out in a case. And then you say, well, could you have a dossier of anything that proves that you work with the police? And people say, no, I don't. And, well, that's hard for somebody. So I did it right. I kept every piece of paper, everything. I made sure there's a paper trail. I made sure I got on TV. I made sure I got into the news media so everybody knew about it.
Yeah, like I said, I just find that everything you do, the way you go about it, and you actually put your life in danger at times to help these people.
Yeah, you know, I've had death threats. I've had, can I tell a little bit of a story? Do you mind if I tell a little bit of a story?
Oh, not at all.
Okay. We were we were in eastern Kentucky, and the detective decided to pace off this certain section where the one suspect said he didn't see the smoke. So we ended up pacing off every square inch, and the detective was a very thorough detective. We were standing down at the one property line where they said they couldn't see, and I'm standing by the tree line with the daughter, and the detective's about 30 feet from me. And all of a sudden, there's a loud screech or him yelling, going, "I can pull my weapon faster than you can pull the trigger." And we looked at him. We didn't understand what he was saying. And then we looked where he was staring. I looked into the bushes, and Steve, there was a shotgun pointed at my person. It was now you're gonna have a giggle. It was an elderly lady who was protecting her methamphetamine lab in her house. She thought we were going to encroach on her property, so she was going to protect herself, but we weren't, and it was amazing to go through that. I mean, if she would have sneezed, I wouldn't have been here.
Right. And what, this is out in the back hills of Kentucky or something?
Yeah, this is like border West Virginia type. Kentucky area.
Right. Yeah, I know a couple other instances too, but I'm not going to bring that up because, like I said,
no.
I don't want to give away too much.
That's true.
But I do. I feel very privileged to have been able to preview as much as you allowed me to preview of it. And, tried to give you as honest as you asked for. As honest of a review as I could. I mean, it's all about being real. And
it is.
Like I said in the review, man, I couldn't put down. I'm not much of a reader. I figured it was going to take me a while, but a couple hours later, I was done reading it. It's like I wanted to read more, which I'm probably more than likely going to get my chance when I get your book.
Yeah, you will.
But anyway, I hope everybody, got to hear, about the Christmas miracle because to me, I mean, I couldn't wait to, have everybody hear it after getting the story myself. And then, after talking to Julie and everything, it just brought everything a little closer to me. So, yeah, I get a lot of emotion out of that story, too. I hope everybody else did.
Well, yeah, I certainly did. I mean, that was a surprise. I thank you. I thank Julie for taking the time to even come on the radio and talk. And you surprised me. And I'll remember forever. I will.
I hope everybody gets to see a picture of that handshake when it happens.
Oh, I hope so, too. I truly do.
Because I know how much you're looking forward to it. Anyway. And everybody, be sure to stay tuned for our next show, which is going to be part two. We're going to talk a little bit more about Robbie's book and how you can get a hold of a copy of it when it comes out. I don't know if you still got your advance order list or anything like that. But that's going to be on January 18th, and that will be at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, only on Paraligion, only at LifeParanormal.com. Robbie, I appreciate you taking the time to come on. Man, I'm totally honored to have you on my show. I'm glad you had time to come on and share that story with us because, the title says it all, Christmas Miracle, man. You're an amazing person. And I look forward to our next show and look forward to seeing you again, bro.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you, too. It's been some time, and I want to get back down to Ohio. So something's brewing. I can't talk much, but maybe on the next show we can if I get a little more clearance. And, yeah, you know, folks, tune in to next show. You're going to get a surprise what's coming out in this book. We'll give you
That's
some
right.
more details.
He's such a tease.
Yeah. You know, today on social media, I gave away a chapter, one case, which was 22 pages long, to a lot of folks to read, and they all can't put the book down. They say the same thing. They just can't believe the proof that's in the pudding and how it all happened. And, yeah, so, folks, you're tuning in.
Yeah, I was reading some of those. I think it's awesome that you put the little teasers out there, though.
Yeah, I'm
so
a good
everybody,
tease.
Make sure you tune in on the 18th, 9 o'clock, Paraligion. Robbie Thomas, the man. Brother, I appreciate you so much, man. You have a blessed night, and we will talk to you later.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
All right, buddy. So that's pretty much our show for tonight. I hope everybody enjoyed it. The story, that's just one of many stories, but that one really touched me, especially talking to Julie. I'm so glad, Julie, thank you for calling in. I think we made Robbie's night. I hope we made Robbie's night. And everybody just stay tuned next week, or not next week, but two Thursdays from now, January 18th, 9 o'clock, here on Live Paranormal. And we're out of here. Talk to you later.